step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake preview WWE Survivor Series. Friends, it's Survivor Series weekend, and you know what that means. It means you should sign up for ProWrestling.net membership. Not only will you get ad-free live coverage of NXT TakeOver Toronto and Survivor Series, but you will get exclusive audio reviews with Jason Powell and Zach Zimmerman on NXT TakeOver and Jason Powell and Jake Barnett on Survivor Series. It is a big, big weekend here at ProWrestling.net, and that's going to happen on top of all of the other audio we do. Reviews of every major show. You can get it all. Guys, sign up for as low as $7.50 a month, or if you take the annual option, $5.50 a month, you can get a month of ProWrestling.net membership. Check it out, please, and let us know what you think when you do. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the show. So, Jake, I received for purchasing a Google Pixel, the Google Daydream VR headset yesterday. So I have an off-the-wall question to start this show. If Survivor Series were offered in a virtual reality format, would you watch it that way?
I don't think so. I mean,
you could just like turn your back to entire matches, though.
I mean, there's like with the more advanced VR headsets that do video games and stuff. There's like, you know, big screen mode where like you can put yourself in a virtual theater and like watch, and you know, it'll be like watching, you know, according to your point of view, like a giant movie screen.
Yeah.
And in that way,
I've got the Hulu app like that. Like I could watch Raw like that every week.
Sure. And yeah. I guess, you know, if it's comfortable enough on your, you know, with a head mounted display, I mean, that's workable, but I mean, it just seems like a lot of work. That's the thing to me.
Yeah. I don't know that I would watch Survivor Series in this format. It just seems, it seems like a lot of work for not a lot of reward. And I personally like being able to get up and walk to the fridge and grab a drink while I'm watching a show without having to turn the show off or take the show off my face, or without stepping on a dog because I tried to walk two steps in my house. Those both sound like pretty poor options, but I think it's funny. Not super impressed with the whole virtual reality thing currently. Trying it on for the first time yesterday, I was like, it's cool, but like now there's a thing on my face. I don't want a thing on my face.
I keep waiting for like augmented reality to be more interesting. I mean, it's,
I keep waiting for reality to get better too.
That's true.
Reality could really improve right now.
I guess there's something to be said for like overlaying something over your normal field of view. That like seems interesting to me, like what they were trying to do with Google Glass all those years ago. But I don't know, man. I mean, putting a helmet on my head and it just doesn't seem like any way to go through life for whatever reason.
Did you ever watch VR Troopers as a kid?
I think I did, now that you mention it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I could go into virtual reality and fight some villains, then I'd be cool with it. Like if I had to save the world in virtual reality, I'd like to think that I'd be pretty okay at that.
I you know, you could be a superhero at that point. So virtual reality is cool that way.
Yeah. But I could be a superhero. You're right.
But anyway, this is a wrestling podcast, or so I've been told. So
I've heard that as well. It's an unconfirmed rumor at this point that it's a wrestling podcast, but just to make sure we get some wrestling in, we're previewing Survivor Series today. Jake, do you want to start at the top or the bottom of this show?
It's a short one, so why don't we start at the bottom?
Start at the bottom. Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto. Should Kalisto win the entire cruiserweight division, goes to SmackDown? We've talked about this one. I want to see that cruiserweight division on SmackDown. SmackDown is the better show by leaps and bounds, even this week where I thought there were certain weaknesses to both of the weekly shows. SmackDown was still the more watchable and enjoyable show. I want to see Kalisto win this. I have a rooting interest in this show. SmackDown needs that cruiserweight division. That cruiserweight division needs the competent writing of SmackDown.
Yeah, it seems like the two non-Survivor Series, three if you count Lesnar and Goldberg, but the two that have actual consequences, the Intercontinental Championship and the Cruiserweight Championship, almost seem like they're correcting mistakes on either show. Like, I think they feel like the Intercontinental Championship would be a way to pick up Raw's sagging third hour, and they feel like the Cruiserweight division is a much better fit for SmackDown. So I almost see them having Sami Zayn and Kalisto win here because they want to flip-flop where these championships appear to try to fix, you know, patch holes in their respective shows.
Yeah, and I'll miss that Intercontinental title being presented as well as it was on SmackDown. I think the Dolph Ziggler versus Miz feud has been really pretty well done. It's overstayed its welcome a little bit for me, but I think overall that feud did a really good job of making that title feel important and making each guy stand out as pseudo main eventers, in a sense. Like, they're not quite in that main event picture, but it did really well. But I would agree, Raw needs a little bit more, especially I feel like the U.S. Championship gets a little less exciting on Roman Reigns. If they want to have Roman carry that title for a while, moving that Intercontinental title to Raw to have something to pick up that third hour and also have something for the abundance of heavyweights on that show to fight for, all of that makes sense. That kind of brings us to the next match, The Miz with Maurice versus Sami Zayn. Intercontinental title on the line. I am so glad that Miz beat Dolph Ziggler on Tuesday night. I think that was the highlight of SmackDown for me. Miz losing the Intercontinental title to Sami Zayn gives a natural point of conflict with Daniel Bryan to continue what they've been doing. It gives Miz some fun character motivation on SmackDown going forward. And it gives Zayn a good victory and a good moment on a show where Zayn has felt lost lately. And that does worry me.
Yeah, the thing that continues to worry me is that they're going to put that title on Sami Zayn, and then all of a sudden on Monday he's just going to lose it to Braun Strowman or something. You know what I mean? Just like some horrible.
Braun Strowman, like, will still be injured from whatever Shane McMahon jumps off of to eliminate him from the 5-on-5 match. Don't be ridiculous. Enough. Not sell a Shane McMahon beating.
Well, it's kind of hard to sell a Shane McMahon. I mean, if you're like just watching those.
Undertaker has told me that he has zero fear. Shane McMahon is the new Pentagon Jr. Cero miedo.
The dancing punches are just too much for me. Like, I just can't handle it. Like, I watch it and my brain just shuts down.
My brain lights up. Like, you know how they say some things have the effect of cocaine on you? That's the dancing punches for me. Like, just all of, like, my brain just releases this flood of dopamine the second Shane McMahon starts shuffling.
Yeah, I believe it, given some of your reactions to his matches. But I guess with The Miz and Zayn, I think, you know, there's two ways that they could go with this. There's the first one that I described earlier, which is that Zayn manages to pick up a win, maybe because Ziggler gives him an assist. I have no idea, but I see that as a possibility. Or, you know, because they put the championship on a heel, he could just cheat to win again, and The Miz could retain somehow. I mean, there's a couple of ways that could go. I mean, I think the crowd pleasing moment would be Zayn picking up a win, but I think they may be, you know, saving the crowd pleasing moments for the actual Survivor Series matches, which is they're really going to need them because they have. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of 10-on-10 in the tag match, and then 2 5-on-5 matches. They're going to need to really pull out all the stops to keep those things interesting.
And those matches usually go pretty long as well. They go a long time, and then there are rapid fire eliminations. It's really weird sometimes how they structure these Survivor Series matches. But I agree with you. I'm less sure of The Miz losing the title to Sami Zayn than I am of Kendrick losing the title to Kalisto. Zim brought up an interesting point. Going back slightly to Kalisto and Kendrick, Zim brought up a good point on .NET Weekly with Jason yesterday. He mentioned that Brian Kendrick as Cruiserweight Champion is one of the least exciting things that WWE could do, simply because Brian Kendrick doesn't work a cruiserweight style. They have these guys that all work differently, but they structure the division around a guy who works almost just like a WWE heavyweight, and that's a real
issue. His finisher is a modified headlock.
Yeah.
Real. Like, it's so incongruent with the rest of the division. It's kind of comical in a way, but I think they put themselves in a corner because I think they were really hoping TJP would take off, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. I think they were hoping for a little bit more, but I think that's true of all of the cruiserweights right now, and I think it's one of the reasons you reset them, put them on SmackDown, and give them a solid creative effort behind them. Let's move on. Elimination matches. Team Raw. For the tag teams, the New Day, two members of it, Gallows and Anderson, Sheamus and Cesaro, Enzo and Cass, and the Shining Stars versus SmackDown's team, Heath Slater and Rhino, Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, Jimmy and Jey Uso, and Tyler Breeze and Fandango. What happens in this match? Who do you think ends up walking away as the dominant tag division, I guess.
I think based on what we saw on SmackDown, for whatever reason, the SmackDown team appears to be on the same page, and what we saw on Raw was those teams being completely in disarray. So I'm going to hazard a guess and say SmackDown wins, but I mean I don't know that for certain. I think the really odd part of this match is that we saw there was a four. I think it was eight teams total, four on four on SmackDown between some of the SmackDown teams that are on Team SmackDown and then the guys who are just really happy to be getting the paycheck. And like the whole side of the ring, like basically, you know, guys were having to avoid each other on just to hit the ropes. Like, and there's going to be even more of them, stuck on the ring for this match on Sunday. So I think they're going to have to get some eliminations out of the way early. They're going to have to, find a way to, keep it interesting because eliminating 10, I guess it will be by the end, nine teams is going to take. It's going to take an insane amount of time unless they're just going to make some of these pinfalls feel completely inconsequential. So,
which they do a lot in Survivor Series matches.
Yeah, they do. And so I'm going to guess Team SmackDown wins, but this is the one that I'm scratching my head like, this one could feel like completely inconsequential throughout the entire thing. And then maybe, when you're down to like, two teams on either side is when it starts to get interesting.
Is it once one member of a team is eliminated, the entire team is eliminated, or is it single elimination? Because I think in the past, these Survivor Series matches, have been like the full team. If Tyler Breeze is pinned, the entire team is eliminated, which is good. At least they have that going for them that can take up some time. I think this will be fun once it gets down to it, but the tag division, like this to me is the match that they could really leave off the show and I'd be fine. The tag divisions aren't super dynamic to me right now. And I think hijacking the entirety of the tag divisions and putting them in this weird story where they're all Cesaro and Sheamus for the month, for the month has really hurt both shows. So hopefully I don't really care who wins, but I'll go with SmackDown. I think there are better things on that SmackDown team. And hopefully this makes it so WWE moves past this quickly.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for like a coming out party for American Alpha or something where they just really get to show what they can do. Because I think they've been underutilized thus far on SmackDown. And it's one of the things that's really stood out to me since the draft. It's like, well, they made a big deal about drafting Alpha and how excited they were, for that pick. And Mick Foley and Stephanie sort of, really regretted that they were not able to get those two. And then they've just kind of languished away from the championship scene. And the tag division in general has kind of languished languished on SmackDown over the past month or two. And so I'm really looking forward to them, you know, finally sort of breaking through and having one of those matches where everybody kind of gets to see what they're capable of. So hopefully this is it. I mean, if they're going to showcase them at any point, this would be a good chance for them to stand out.
This would be, especially with Jason Jordan's really great hot tag, because there are 10 guys on the other side of the ring who can sell some suplexes, and he can toss them all around. Let's move on to the next elimination match. This one's going to be the women's divisions taking each other on. It's Charlotte, Bayley, Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, and Sasha Banks with Dana Brooke at ringside against Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, and Naomi, with Natalia at ringside. This one, it's another one. I have found the feuding teammates trope in WWE to be insufferable in the last month, and I'm really bummed out that that's what both of these entire divisions have been reduced to. For me, I think it's as simple as Charlotte is undefeated on pay-per-view. Charlotte is not going to lose this match. The Raw women wrap this one up, because that would be a stupid way to end that impressive streak of Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling that this is going to come down to, they had a decent match actually on SmackDown between Carmella and Nikki Bella, and I would be surprised if we didn't see Alexa Bliss somehow, you know, cost Becky Lynch and have her be eliminated because of that. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Nikki Bella eventually be eliminated because of something Carmella does throughout the match. And so, you
that
know,
that makes sense.
And so at least, you know, on paper, that's how you could get to, you know, eliminating the two strongest members of that team. And then, you know, from there, you know, I don't think you're going to see Nia Jax get pinned. I don't think you're going to see Charlotte get pinned. And so I would see those two being the survivors in this match. And perhaps, you know, that's just the way it will scramble up to be. But I don't see them sacrificing either of those two, you know, just for a Survivor Series match. And they have plenty of ways to allow Nikki and Becky and out to let them get pinned here.
Yeah, they have plenty of ways to do that. I think on the Raw side, it comes down to Charlotte and Bayley somehow being on a team together. And I could see Charlotte, they do it in some way where Charlotte basically sacrifices Bayley to set up Charlotte getting the pin on the last member of Team SmackDown, and that's the end. I think Charlotte also, they find a way to make Bayley fight against the odds and eliminate one or two people to look really, really good in this with the way they've built it up. But that's me also.
Do you think they're
going to
spend that much time on Bayley? I mean,
I don't know.
Based on how they dealt with her on Tuesday, where she was just kind of part of the pack and jumped in on the assault. I'm just saying it didn't seem like they're paying like extra attention or taking special care of her in this story. So I would be surprised to see her suddenly have like this weird, like, you know, Ultimate Warrior moment where she's just pinning people in this match left and right. But I'm open to it. It just doesn't seem like it's something that jumps to mind.
That is a really good point. And the way her taking part in that beatdown on Tuesday, to me, violated the very core of Bayley's character. And Bayley is a character more than a lot of other people in WWE are characters. Bayley is she represents something more than others do. And I found that to be kind of abhorrent that WWE would have her participate in that beatdown. And just, I said don't get me started, then I got me started. Just as an illustration, think of how compelling a scene, just a quick 30-second scene backstage would be with Charlotte saying, I'm going to go down and this is what's going to happen. And Bayley saying, I will not participate in this. Her kind of standing up and going, I know they're on Team SmackDown and I'll fight like hell on Sunday, but I'm not going to attack someone for no reason. And then have Bayley run down once the odds were even, once the SmackDown team was there. To me, that's a way you make Bayley's character stand out as a moral and good and just character, instead of having Bayley's character participate in a 5-on-1 beatdown for no gosh darn reason. This upset me.
I'm with you. I think it was a weird betrayal of her character, and I think they're going to completely ignore it after this is over.
It won't be mentioned again for a month or for months. Like it, and maybe she'll do the same exact thing next year, and people will go, "Well, it doesn't matter." But moments like that really add up. They make it so you can't trust characters. And again, I think Bailey's character has a special relationship with fans, and especially younger fans, where they trust her. She's supposed to be the hero that does good things for good reasons. And to walk away from that for no... Like, it'd be one thing if the story was compelling and it made sense. There's no compelling story. There is no real logic to it other than, yeah, but those girls were in blue shirts and Bailey wears a red one.
Yeah, there's really no stakes to this.
Yeah. It's upsetting.
I wish they would take it more seriously, but I just don't have the confidence in the creative, yeah, especially on the Raw side, because it seems like they just do whatever is required for their short-term needs, and unfortunately that runs into a lot of long-term character development a lot of the time, and it really is evident in the women's division, where they've been talking about this revolution now for well over a year, and we still really don't have great character development on anybody.
Yeah, WWE doesn't understand character development. Even upping the women's level of creative to the same crappy creative they give the men, they don't understand character development and long-term storytelling. Let's move on to Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Seth Rollins against AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, and Shane McMahon. Jake, who do you think ends up winning this one?
I'm going to say Team SmackDown. I think that's the story that they've been kind of setting up here. I mean, the Undertaker, given the win one for the Gipper speech on SmackDown, and the Raw team seemingly failing to really come together. I think it's going to come down to, who betrays who, but I think we're going to see Team SmackDown win here, just because it's with Shane being actually involved in the match. I think that was the tip off, at least to me, that they were willing to put Team SmackDown over the edge that way. But I mean, I could be very wrong. I just don't see them giving the Raw the victory, because I think they're going to win the women's match. You're probably going to see them come away with the Intercontinental Championship. I think it's a good night for them either way.
Here's where I think SmackDown could lose. Undertaker said, if you lose this, basically you have to answer to me. What I took away from Tuesday night was Undertaker setting up kind of a final run, setting up his final thing. And I know everyone said, oh, was this the last year? Could this be the last year? This might be the last year. So I could be reading way too much into it. It may not be the last year, but if it is, it would make sense for Undertaker to come out and, well, now he has a reason to fight AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, and Randy Orton. I don't think he would fight the man with no fear, Shane McMahon, again. But I could see them setting up a last series of matches with those four, maybe culminating in a John Cena match or something at WrestleMania, where Undertaker gets to go out on his black horse. Kind of gets to have that final moment. That's where I think Raw could win this, but I'm with you in that Raw's team seems to get along a lot less than SmackDown's team. I think there's more to it with, say, Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens getting eliminated. Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman have to look like supermen of some sort. You have to have some sort of thing between Rollins and Reigns and Ambrose in there. But I think there's a little bit less on that Raw side that points to them winning.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Taker thing is a valid point. I think it just could easily be misdirection. I think they are setting him up for a feud with John Cena, and I don't really see anybody else on SmackDown that they would want to put him with immediately. I mean, he's already been in the ring with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I don't think they want to put him in there with Dean Ambrose. I don't think they want to put him necessarily in the title picture with AJ Styles. I mean, I think and of course, Shane McMahon, he's already had that match. And so, if he's going to have another run on SmackDown, I think it's just going to be, you know, whatever he ends up doing with John Cena. I mean, maybe he'll come back for special appearances and matches occasionally, you know, heading into WrestleMania or Royal Rumble or major shows like that. But I just can't see him being a weekly player that gets involved in the normal storylines. And I think he'll just be a guy that comes back and maybe disrupts the flow for a week or something at important moments when they need a boost in the ratings or something. So I'm going to pick Team SmackDown, but it's a low confidence pick.
Yeah, I will go with Team Raw, but again, very low confidence. I would not bet any actual money on it, but who bets on pro wrestling anyways? That's ridiculous. Finally, the main event of this show, Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg in a rematch no one needed to see. Goldberg's last match was in 2004. Goldberg has run out of breath entering the ring. There are reports that he tweaked something in the little bit of physicality he did on Monday night, and I cannot find a way that this is compelling inside my soul at all. So, sorry, that was very biased and ridiculous, but I don't really care about Goldberg, and Brock Lesnar is a guy who's there that throws people and doesn't do many compelling things anymore. Brock Lesnar went from being a really well-built-up, dynamic character to being a guy that shows up and fights other part-time guys on a part-time schedule. And that, to me, doesn't mean that I want to see him. They're not building up monsters for Brock Lesnar to conquer. They're not building up anyone for Brock Lesnar to face. Brock is just Brock. He's going to show up and do Brock things. And to me, there are really, really diminishing returns on that. So Brock versus Goldberg, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think it's going to be a disaster. I mean, unless they do some creative brawling, you know, if they don't really expect them to have a wrestling match and it's just going to be one of those, you know, I guess the Attitude Era kind of walking brawls that go all around the arena and they do a few wrestling moves and they hit a spear or an F5 or whatever, you know, I'm not expecting them to go out there and, you know, do a collar and elbow tie up and have, you know, a match in the ring. It just seems like neither guy, or especially Goldberg in this case, would really excel, because I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to go out there and carry a big oaf like Goldberg to a great match. And so, you know, it behooves them both to just kind of take shortcuts. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see. It might be satisfying in the respect that, you know, these guys are probably going to beat the tar out of one another. But I don't really see it being any kind of technical showcase for either guy. I don't think Brock Lesnar has had many of those matches since he's been back. And I don't think you can realistically expect Goldberg to even have one at all.
Yeah, I'm honestly more interested in the inevitable Shane McMahon versus Goldberg or Shane McMahon versus Lesnar match than I am in Shane McMahon versus Brock Lesnar. And I don't say that just because of my absurd love of Shane McMahon. I say that because I really think Shane McMahon can get a better match out of Brock Lesnar than Goldberg can, and they can tell a more compelling story. Neither one of these guys are great at selling. Neither one of these guys are all that great at storytelling, to be honest. I've said on this show before, Goldberg had one pretty good match at Halloween Havoc 1998, and the rest of his matches were meh or below for me, career-wise. I think I ended up seeing basically every match of Goldberg's career in my time as a fan, and I can't think of another super compelling match that he had. I don't care. Like, it's hard for me to care here. Part of me wants Goldberg to win just because of how absurd that would be, but it's not like Lesnar really loses much if Goldberg does win. The mystique of the guy who conquered the streak is off. The unbeatable destroyer that Brock Lesnar was in 2014, that's gone. Like, that I don't think matters all that much to fans anymore after the WrestleMania in 2015. To me, that's right around when that kind of reputation ended. So Brock is a guy. Goldberg is a guy. Have Goldberg win. I really don't care anymore. But I realistically think Brock wins this, and the show goes off the air with people scratching their heads going, "That was it?"
I have a hard time believing they have a clean finish. I don't think we're going to see a conclusive winner here. I think they they know what they have in in terms of marketing here. I mean, I think they're going to leave the door open for Goldberg to have another match. I just do, if he wants it. So, I could we see Gross. Him? It is kind of. I mean, he's clearly not in a position where that's something that he should do physically. I mean, he tore up his shoulder or something. I mean, I don't know. He said tweaked, but just in
tweaked
the limited
at his age is still a problem.
He threw a couple of elbows and hit a clothesline, and he's already feeling it. So
what if he gets hurt doing his entrance? Like, what if he does the old Sami Zayn and he goes to do the punching? The punching, kicking through fireworks thing, and he just like falls over because he tweaked his shoulder or tore his rotator cuff or something.
It's not outside the realm of possibility, but I have a hard time believing they're going to want to have Lesnar take a pin here, and I don't know, having a guy like Goldberg come back and just lose clean seems like it seems like something he wouldn't agree to necessarily, especially coming back and talking about being a hero for kids and everything. So I'm expecting some kind of dirty finish, whether it's conclusive or not, one way or the other. That's just my gut feeling.
That's dumb. That's going to lead to the inevitable Lesnar and Goldberg rematch that I'm going to care even less about. I sound really down on it, but that's because I'm really negative about Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. I think it's a waste of everybody involved, and I don't even care that much about the participants. How do you feel, just real quick, as we wrap this show up, how do you feel about the NXT show the night before this?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't think it's as hot as previous ones have been for me. I mean, I am looking forward to Nakamura and Joe, but they've cannibalized quite a bit of talent off that show, and it just doesn't have the shine on it that it once did, at least for me. So I'm gonna watch it, and I'm probably gonna enjoy it, and maybe it'll surprise me, but it just doesn't have the same allure that the previous ones did. I mean, maybe I'm I could be wrong, but at least that seems to be a pretty common opinion.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat. It'll be fun. Joe and Nakamura will have a very good match. Revival and DIY will have a good match. There will be good wrestling on the show, but yeah, it feels like NXT has been built in slow motion. I think week to week, their show has gotten just boring. Like, it's not bad. It's not good. It's just, it's there. It is a wrestling program on the network, and if you want to watch it, you can. But I don't see it as particularly compelling. It's kind of repetitive, and I think the cannibalization of talent has hurt that show. Although that's really what NXT is. If you think of it as developmental, if you think of it as a third brand, maybe it's a little bit worse. I'm not particularly enthused by it, but I'll watch, and I know I am 95% sure I will enjoy it more than I enjoy Survivor Series. So there's that. One thing that has me a little bit down on it, Jake, I don't like having takeovers the night before a big WWE pay-per-view. I understand why they do it. I understand that they like the big sold-out arena feel. They like having it, making it a weekend destination for fans coming. I get how that's good for WWE. For me, as someone that watches, I would like some separation. No matter what and how good it is, when you are putting a takeover the night before a four-hour pay-per-view, you're asking me to consume 7 hours of wrestling in 2 days. I don't know that I want to do that at any point. Like, aside from WrestleMania weekend when wrestling is cocaine and I'm an addict, like, I don't know that I really, really need that much wrestling. And takeover stands out better on its own weekend, on its own night, not tacked onto Survivor Series, and I feel that WWE is kind of, they're looking at the short term, we can make weekend destinations like gains. Over the long term, we can have individual events that feel special play that I think would behoove them to take a look at.
Yeah, I can see your point of view. I mean, from a fan perspective, I think it is taxing. I mean, it's just a lot of time to have to sink into a wrestling for a weekend, even if you're going to go locally and be there in person. Like, it's just two nights. I mean, I don't know. Like,
well, and you and
it's a tough sell.
I think a lot of wrestling fans are not to profile, but, you know, humans with significant others in their lives were dudes with wives who aren't as enthusiastic about wrestling as us. I can say Christy isn't like super psyched when I'm like, I want to spend the entire weekend watching wrestling. She's like, oh, that's really cool. Wouldn't you rather hang out if this is one of the rare weekends you have off and maybe not watch wrestling all weekend? And that's not in a like complaining about my wife way. It's in a very logical, I think a lot of wrestling fans are in that situation where, whether it's a wife, a boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, whatever it is, you're probably going, hey, you know, if the significant other isn't as into it as you, they're probably going like, hey, dude, or dudette, can we like chill and maybe you not watch WWE Network all weekend? And I think a lot of fans are in that situation where, you know, it's kind of super serving. And then on top of it, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, if you try to watch all the main shows, you were talking about four nights in a row of the wrestles, and that's a little bit much to me as well.
I've written off Monday on these weekends like this. Like I just can't do it.
I've kind of written off Monday in general. Raw's garbage. That's the new name, actually. It's not Raw's War anymore. It's Raw's garbage.
Raw is garbage. Yeah. I mean, Saturday night, like, I'll probably have the show on and it'll be in the background while I'm doing something with my daughter and my wife. And Sunday, I talk about it with Jason after the show. And so I do try to, you know, pay attention to that show and have interesting things to say about it when it's over.
Sometimes even succeed at that.
I occasionally, but you know, and then I cover the show on Tuesday. So it's like, well, I mean, I can't really dedicate Monday to that. Like, it's 3 hours of just pain most nights. And so, you know, I generally catch the Hulu show much like you do after the fact.
That Hulu show is a lifesaver. And even lately, that Hulu show has been
kind of painful. A drag at times.
Yeah, you're like, we just went 40 minutes without a match. I look at Jason's report. I'm like, no, they had one nothing cruiserweight match in there that not a lot happened during. Wow. This show sucks. But yeah, that's I think that's enough complaining about modern wrestling. Jake, that I talk about all this. The most exciting thing happening this weekend, I get to see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them tonight. That's what matters. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that was coming out this weekend. Having a family, it's just like, what movies are out? Oh, another thing I can't do because I'm stuck at home. But but the... you know, I hear good things, and I haven't had a chance to dig into all the books, but I know everybody says they're wonderful. So I'm sure everybody will be really impressed. They do a really good job with the Potter universe in movie form. So I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, I don't love all of the movies, but this one written to be a movie, I think should be pretty fun. I'm hoping at least, because Cursed Child left me almost despondent with its lack of quality. So.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay.
I should do a Harry Potter podcast.
I mean, maybe find one that somebody that already has one and just be like, could I do any better than this? Because that's the one thing like about podcasts is that there's so many of them at times. It's like, I mean, are people like just not even scanning what's already out there before they start one? Because it's like, man, there's already people doing a really good job at this. Maybe I'll just tack on.
Yeah. So are you saying that I should like listen to other wrestling podcasts to see if we're any good? Because that's just going to bring down my self-esteem.
I guess it's a risk we all have to take, but yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
All right, Jake, thank you for joining me this week, and we'll talk to everyone next week. Go Survivor Series!
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.